Love Talk Radio.
Greetings, beloved friends, and welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith. Thank you for joining me on this wonderful Wednesday. We're in the midst of some pretty severe storms here in the Memphis Shelby County area, but praise God, it seems to not have done the damage and caused the calamitous effects that were previously predicted. I believe the worst of it has passed. We did dismiss schools early today in the area in light of it coming or predicted to come. So I'm believing God, everyone got home safely. But thank you again for joining me. This is the last day of March. And we are recognizing and celebrating Women's History Month here in March as we close out. This is the focus of our show today, women who walk in faith with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You just heard the live version of For Your Glory by Natasha Cobbs Leonard, the very amazingly talented Natasha Cobbs Leonard. And this is live at Passion City Church. It's one of my favorite songs to listen to, no matter whether I'm feeling upbeat and cheerful and jovial, or whether I'm going through a rough or difficult time or dealing with some unpleasant news. It fits every occasion. And so I wanted to open the show with that song today, because we were talking about women of faith who want to be where the Lord is. And the Lord is, he is everywhere. He is omnipresent. And his spirit, the Holy Spirit, is ubiquitous. But we want to be with the Lord as women of faith and women who worship him. So today, and this show is somewhat impromptu, I was wanting to do a closeout show for the month, but I have not really formally planned one. So please bear with me. Today we're going to be talking about biblical, historical, and just societal, historical, and contemporary women of faith, and what we can learn from them in their lives, and how they project their faith, and their belief, and their service in ministry. What that could do for us as women of faith in our day-to-day lives. And for the last couple of weeks, since I did the last show, I had spring break, praise the Lord. That was a blessing. It was a staycation. I got a chance to take care of a lot at home, some business matters, clean up and clean through a couple of rooms in the house, and planned a trip to see my son this summer up in New Jersey. But I also got some time during the season of Lent as we approach Good Friday and Resurrection weekend to delve deep into the Word and into Scripture and some supplemental texts. And I'm going to be mentioning today a particular book that I would encourage you to either check out from the library, visit your local library, or purchase. Here I'll be talking about that momentarily, a great devotional for women. And I just got the opportunity to do a lot of spiritual self-reflection in my own life. I was also able to go and visit my dad's church in Memphis the last couple of worship services. It is family month at his church, and so the pastor has been speaking about marriage and family and child rearing and just a number of topics about which we all need to be mindful and aware, whether we're married or single or whether or not we have children, simply because we are all living in this world together, and we never know with whom we might come in contact or how we can bless someone with our knowledge and our wisdom, and how we can support them in their times of need. So I really appreciated being able to attend those services. And also last weekend, or this past weekend, they recognize a woman, a godly woman, who for 65 years has served in the church and in her sorority, which happens to be my sorority, in service and in leadership and dedication. So they had a tribute to her, and it was such a blessing to see. And she is actually started a scholarship in her name that she is funding herself for high school seniors in the church. And so thank God for Miss Mae Francis Martin, just a beautifully spirited woman, an example to us all of faith. She's an educator. Amen. Amen for her zeal and love for the Lord. So I've also gotten a chance to start mentoring my students for, I'm a Tennessee Achieve Mentor for the Tennessee Promise Scholarship, and I've got a chance to start mentoring my students this spring who will graduate high school in May. And so it's always a delight to engage with young people. So I'm looking forward to building those connections and, of course, also continuing with the students I serve in my school. So God is good. God is awesome. Prayer requests. I really just want to pray, continue prayer for my family, my parents, my siblings, and their my brothers-in-law, and my extended family, my aunts, uncles, cousins, also my spiritual family, my God's sisters, my others in my life, my mentors, people who are just everyone. There's so much that people are going through. And a colleague, they share with me that mother is ill, and so, you know, just prayers for everyone, whether it's a physical or mental, emotional, whatever the stressors in life may be, the conditions that are adverse for us, that we would just be strengthened and encouraged in the Lord. We you know, believe God for victory, and that's the story we're sharing today of these women I'm going to highlight, believing God for victory. Prayers as I am, you know, in that space now of just seeking God for next steps for my life and what's coming forward. As I'm coming up on the big 45 this summer, and so that is definitely a milestone, and it's a, since it's not a decade milestone, but it's a half decade, and as God is leading me into where he wants me to go and how he wants me to serve him most effectively in this season and stage of my life. And I pray that for each and every one of you. I also want to specifically pray for those who are battling addictions and other mental health challenges, depression, anxiety, hopelessness, PTSD. Well, I just want to pray, whatever the age, you know, children today, youth and teens are, they are dealing with this very extensively, these kinds of conditions. And so I just pray that those spirits would be rebuked in them, released from them, and that the Lord's hand would cover them with peace and contentment, with a sense of hope and confidence in him, so that they can begin to live more fulfilling lives by looking toward him. We want to continue to pray for the war with Russia and Ukraine in the hopes that the forces that are opposing the freedom and liberty of the Ukrainians would that they would concede and pull back and allow independence for them. We continue to pray as well as we're in the COVID-19 pandemic. So let us pray. Dear Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, so much for just continuing to be our light, our source of hope, and our foundation of faith, our guide. Father God, we come before you asking that you would just show us your way and your will, and that we would be bold enough to follow that path confidently, and that you would give us victory in and through all situations that we face that may be disturbing, that may be heartbreaking, that may be challenging in many ways. Lord, we just ask for your forgiveness for ways that we have transgressed your word, and that we have not been faithful. And we pray that you would just have mercy on us. Lord, extend loving kindness and grace over us as we go throughout our journey, our time here on this earth. Lord, we know it's not forever, it is finite. We just ask that while we are here, that we would be committed to you, and that we would approach your throne with humility and reverence, and Lord, be willing and receptive to where you are leading. Please help our eyes to be open, our ears to be open to your wisdom. And we pray that you would just fill us with the knowledge we need, and not only the knowledge, Lord, but the willingness to submit. In your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. So I want to first talk about some Bible verses for us as women and affirming our value and our beauty and our beloved identity in Christ Jesus. First of all, we are God's masterpiece. And this is actually coming from Kelly Villari's blog on crosswalk.com. And so there's just a beautiful scripture here. For we are God's masterpiece, Ephesians 2:10. You are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you, Song of Solomon 4:7. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Of course, that's coming from Proverbs 31:25. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God, Isaiah 62:3. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. Song of Solomon 2:10. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Proverbs 31:26. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. Psalm 34:5. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Psalm 139:13-16. And that's paraphrased slightly, but I do like the paraphrase. Your workmanship is marvelous. How will I know it? Psalm 139:13-14. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. Luke 1:45. And then, of course, for we are God's masterpiece, created to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's that entire scripture verse there. God is within her. She will not fail. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Psalm 46:5. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. 1 Peter 5:10. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Esther 4:14. But you are chosen your generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, 1 Peter 2:9. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 3:20, I believe, 3:2, or 3:20. I'm trying to read how this is, the numbers are listed. But Philippians 3, not looking in the, at that actual scripture verse at this time. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8. Now you are the body of Christ, individually members of it. 1 Corinthians 12:27. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. She is worth far more than rubies. Proverbs 31:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. 1 Corinthians 15:10. See, I've inscribed in the palms of my hands, Isaiah 49:16. This is one of my favorite scripture verses in all of the Bible. I mean, I have many, many favorites, but this one in particular definitely stands out to me, and I call it one of my mantra or motto verses. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. And I'll be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty, 2 Corinthians 6:18. For in Christ Jesus, you're all sons and daughters of God through faith, Galatians 3:26. The glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. John 15:15. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. 1 Corinthians 15:58. But to all who did receive him, who believed his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John 1:12. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. And upon the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4:24. So God created mankind in his own image. Genesis 1:27. Very, very powerful scripture verses. And you can encourage a sister in Christ or just a woman you know who needs an uplifting word, an inspiring word, even if she is not claimed to be a believer or follower. You never know, as we pour into people and speak life into individuals, how that can shape their minds and soften their heart toward receiving the truth of the Word of God. So I want to talk for a moment before we get into, or actually leading into these biblical women of faith who walk with the Lord, a book that I've read, and I'm actually in my last chapter of this book, called Stones of Remembrance, A Rock Hard Faith from Rock Hard Places, by the late Dr. Lois Evans, the wife of Dr. Tony Evans, with Jane Rubietta. This book, I supported a conference, a women's conference, and they sent this book to all the participants. This was during the pandemic. And the book just talks about the journeys of faith that these women had who definitely encountered some troubling experiences or worked through them during those times. And so, Dr. Evans and her co-writer, co-author, Ms. Rubietta, talk about these different stones, these memory stones, and what they represent in the lives of these women. And then there is a follow-up, a self-reflection for women at the end of each chapter for their own lives. And so the Stones of Remembrance are just kind of those pillars and those turning points where God shows us who he is in our lives and what he's able to do for us, that build that rock-hard faith from rock-hard places where we have been delivered. And so, she talks about, these are the women that she talks about in the book, Pua and Shipra, remembering the faithfulness of God. If you don't know who they are, they were midwives in the Bible. Jochebed, remembering the compassion of God. Of course, that was Moses, Miriam's, and Aaron's mother. Miriam, remembering the song of God, Moses' sister, Pharaoh's daughter, remembering the intervention of God, because she was the one who adopted Moses, essentially, so that he could live and grow and loved him as her own son. So the Lord worked through her to lead toward Moses' ultimate leadership in the Israelites, and God using him for the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. Zipporah, we know, was the wife of Moses, and she interceded for him during the time when he was experiencing great angst and reservation about the calling of the Lord. But she asked the Lord to have mercy on him and strengthen him for that particular calling. Rahab, remember the hospitality of God. Of course, you know, Rahab was the harlot who hid the Jewish people from their pursuers, from the enemy. And so she was blessed in that process and was in the lineage, actually, of David and ultimately of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Zelophehad's daughters, remembering the promises of God, and Achsa, remembering the blessing of God. And again, I would encourage you to get this book. Has some just marvelous ways that it, you know, reminds us and emphasizes, reminds us of God's faithfulness to us and how we need to recall when those rough times come, those times when we just feel so overwhelmed and encumbered. When those times come, think back on the faithfulness not only of God in the lives of these biblical women, but also in our own lives, of what we've overcome and been able to face with him upholding us with his righteous right hand, as Isaiah 41:10 states. So, and there are many other biblical women. Of course, we know Sarah and Esther and Ruth. We could go on and on. Mary Magdalene, of course, Mary, mother of Jesus. Martha, we have many, many women who walked with the Lord and you know, were able to mature in their faith and see the hand of the Lord moving in their lives. There are other historical women as well. Of course, we know, and we talked about some of them last month during the African American History Month. You know, we talked about Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth and Mary McLeod Bethune, Coretta Scott King and Rosa Parks, and many of those women. Also, we know Mother Teresa. We know several other women, Harriet Beecher Stowe, others we have acknowledged, who Corrie Ten Boom, who have made just a tremendous impact on our world and on our society with this remarkable faith, impenetrable. I think of Helen Keller. Just no matter what the truly horrific circumstances that they faced, that they never doubted what God was doing in their lives in and through them. And they stayed steadfast in that truth. And what a testimony. What a testimony for the world, these women. And I want to mention some contemporary female evangelists with whom we are all familiar, or most of us are, that we've heard, seen videos on YouTube, or we have, you know, read their books. And so, you know, Joyce Meyer, from Joyce Meyer Ministries, best-selling author, preacher, and speaker of God, instructional videos about religion and spirituality. Beth Moore, she heads the Living Proof Ministry with her husband, Keith. We have Priscilla Shire and her sister, Priscilla Evans. They are the daughters of Dr. Tony Evans. And they have thriving and flourishing ministries as well. We have Sarah Jakes Roberts, who is a definitely a profound and influential evangelist. And then we have Lisa Turkhurst, who is the founder of the Proverbs 31 Ministries. There are also some ladies, Girlfriends in God, they call themselves. Gwen Smith, Mary Sutherland, and Sharon James. I subscribe to these ladies have daily devotional to which I subscribe that addresses certain topics that we experience in life as Christians, as Christian women, as women of faith. They're encouraging and listening. Some of them are very reflective and heavy, but they allow us to deliberate and delve deeper into where we stand spiritually. I've been subscribing to that newsletter for years. And so as we walk and talk with the Lord and we read scripture to learn not only more about the Lord, but more about ourselves through that word, if we're willing to be transparent and honest, God can use us in ways we never thought we could be used by him at any age and at any stage. You know, as women, I believe that we, you know, first of all, we're very complex, even in our makeup, our physical makeup of having, you know, more in our reproductive systems, more within our makeup in terms of, although, of course, we were taken from a rib of man, but God certainly did have the unique characteristics of the man and the woman, the man and the woman, the two, male and female, two biological sexes. And so I believe we as women, with some of our internal tendencies, we must be so careful to ensure that we're practicing self-care, that we're listening very intently to God, because we can be pulled in so many different directions. I have a book entitled Meditations for Women Who Do Too Much. I have several different devotionals, and many of them I haven't even gotten to yet, but that's one of the really good ones that I have, and it does highlight some scripture verses for women who are always on the go, always doing women such as myself. We love to be helpful and to be of service and to give of ourselves and our time. But this devotional really makes it very plain and clear that we must have balance, and that balance comes through spending that quiet time with the Lord. It comes through setting boundaries and other things that sometimes we find it difficult to do, but it is necessary to do because otherwise we can overextend, and that can lead to mental breakdown. That can lead to psychosomatic symptoms. That can lead to physical ailments, things that we don't want to invite into our lives. And it's just very important that we stay prayed up every day, that we have that time with the Lord so that we can be nourished. And that's whether you are a single woman, no children or grown children, children out of the home, or whether you are a wife and a, you know, mother of current school-age children or minor-age children, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or more, that self-care time is still important. And I know I've heard many women say, I just don't have the time. I've got to take care of the house and the needs of the husband. And I've got the children. I've got multiple children. So much going on. We really have to ask of the Lord to show you how to get that time in, to make the space evident of when you can do that, to bring individuals into your lives who trusted individuals, whether they're family members or close church members that, you know, you know in your heart you can truly trust to help you sometimes with the children or responsibilities, and who want to, who are willing to, who are happy to do so. There are women who are military spouses and they live far away from home. They don't have any close family members. And with everything that goes on in the world today, they just don't feel comfortable leaving their children with somebody who isn't family or someone who isn't very close. And so they just need, you know, they need some insight. And so my prayers is that the Lord will send someone or make way or make time for those women to get, even if it's just 10, 20, 30 minutes a day, just time alone, quiet time with the Lord, because there is refreshment that comes with that. There is revelation that comes with that. We rejuvenate. We re-energize. And it is so, so important to do that. So what can we learn from the biblical women of faith, the societal, historical, and contemporary women of faith? What are traits and practices that we can learn from them? Well, number one, what they all have in common across the centuries, the millenniums, the centuries, the seasons, they all started essentially with faith, walking in faith. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, and without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. So they decided, they made a choice to have faith, place all their faith in God. And that is something that we need to do every day in our lives, no matter what we're facing. Remember, faith, taking that step in, and Dr. King has, there's a quote by Dr. King that references this, faith is taking the first step when you can't see the whole staircase. It's something of that nature, the quote that I'm referencing by him, to be willing to step out there and trust God, no matter what we're facing, encountering, enduring. That's what all of these women did, and that's what these women do. You know, we know the biblical women. Of course, we read their stories, and we know that they had several predicaments that were precarious and, you know, unpleasant, undesirable, unfavorable. We know their stories. We know Sarah's story. We know Esther's story. We know Ruth's story. We know these stories, Miriam's story. So there's nothing new about that. We're aware that they had challenges. We're aware that these historical women that we read about that I just mentioned, they all had adversity in their lives. We're aware that contemporary women, you know, we may not hear about all of their struggles, but we know that they have them in their lives, health challenges, family issues that occur. And, you know, they decide they're going to remain faithful to God and believe God for deliverance from the situation and victory in the struggle. So they have faith. These women, they also have a sense of purpose and direction that they receive from the Lord. They know why they're here, why specifically they were called here. All these women have a dedicated ambition and goal and outcome. We can look at those biblical women, and we know that they had particular, specific guidance from the Lord in what they endeavored to do. We could look at in society at the different women I mentioned and the fact that they were specifically placed where they were in the time and the era they were, to be used, to be vessels by God to bring about these miraculous changes in the world and to help reshape and reform society as we know it, and even our contemporary women and their evangelism. Because when we are in communication with the Lord, he will give us that very precise purpose to which we are called to glorify him and to bring honor to his name. So they have faith, they have purpose and direction. And number three is they have support. They have fellow Christians with whom they're aligning, or fellow believers in the faith. They'll operate in isolation. God puts us here to as relational people, And there are always those who can help us, who can aid us, who can assist us. And we don't think that we can just operate unilaterally or exclusively, but that, as one of the scripture verses I read referenced, you know, we are all in Christ, in one body, operating in the body of Christ with different functions. And so these women did acknowledge that, whether it was in the biblical times of believers coming together for emancipation or for spreading the gospel, the Great Commission, or aligning with forces, spiritual forces of good to combat spiritual forces of evil. They had those support networks. They had faith. They had purpose and direction. They have support networks. And four, they had humility. They were willing to submit and surrender to the will of God for their lives, which helped actually, may seem ironic or paradoxical in a sense, but of course, you know, that's how they were elevated. The word of God said, humble, or we shall humble ourselves beside the Lord, and he will lift us up. I think that's stated in the book of Peter. And so Peter, or first or second Peter, I know it was stated in Peter, we need to see that these women were very humble. They were willing to walk hand in hand in God. And they received their next steps from God in everything they did. And that's why they were able to be so successful. Unless these women had faith, they had purpose and direction. They had network of support. They had humility. And these women had courage, which is what our main topic and the premise of this entire series with Courageous Leadership is about. That's the central focus, the courage these women had, the bravery, the valor. They were just fearless. No matter what it cost, they were going to stand for the Lord, even at their very earthly lives. So they knew that they had eternity waiting with God. And, you know, we, in our day-to-day lives, we need to have those same five traits and practices. We need to have our faith, excuse me, solid and grounded and rooted in the Word. It's not easy, and I'm not saying it's easy at all, because I've been there and still, you know, go through from time to time. But the faith must stand. It is the one thing that's going to get us past and over the hurdles and the humps. We've got to know our purpose, and our purpose specifically, it will always in general be to glorify and honor God in everything that we do, but specifically as God is directing us and leading us into how and where he wants us to do that, in what capacity, we get that from God by seeing and listening to God and being prayerful. The support network. Sometimes we want to do things in isolation because we're distrustful, or because, you know, we're just not wanting to reach out or seem like we're burdening, or that we're weak. But the Lord has placed us here as relational people, and we need to be prayerful about who can we trust in through the Lord to be able to help us and support us in the difficult times, but also just be there for us to encourage us in the times that are going well for the next phase of our journey. support networks are important, and we each need to evaluate for ourselves who those supporting people are for us in our lives. Humility. This is where I had to learn the hard way. And I went through some very tough knocks in my life in the earlier years of my 20s and 30s, not wanting to be humble, believing that I knew it all and had all the answers. And there were some very, harsh lessons I learned in those processes. Submit and surrender to the Lord. We need to acknowledge we don't know anything and we aren't anything without Him. He holds our hand and guides our hand. It doesn't matter what the degrees are, the professional titles on the job or the talents or gifts, whatever it is, it all comes from God. It is all granted and gifted by God and through God. And none of it puts us above Him or means that we know anything more than He does, because He is sovereign. He is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. So we cannot surpass Him. He is our God. We serve Him. We submit to Him and revere Him. And so I learned the hard way in making decisions without the oversight and sanction of the Lord. It did not go well. And so we need to remember every day, whatever we're doing in life, we need to defer to God, defer to the Lord on it, because He knows best, and accept what He's saying as these women have in their lives. Accept God's will, because it is ultimately for the best, the courage. We're feeling fearful about stepping out there in faith. We need to pray for courage, that we'll be empowered. We've already been equipped, but that we would be empowered and recognize the empowerment in the name of Jesus, as we have seen it biblically, historically, and even in contemporary situations, that it is just powerful to know that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So let's all be empowered as we go throughout our lives, ladies, empowered to work and serve the Lord. I am excited as we come into this month of April. I do hope for the opportunity to have a couple of women on the show who can speak, although we're going to have Women's History Month to speak to the truth of how beneficial, how valuable it is to have the Lord leading in our lives. So I hope and pray I'll be able in the next several weeks to schedule these ladies to come and speak on the show about courage leadership, and especially from the female perspective. Another series that I'm looking at doing here, as we get into the spring and closer to the summer, is a series on talents and gifts, and how we use those to glorify God, and evangelism through those particular gifts, especially in the artistic or linguistic realms, how God can use us and what we can do, especially in the space and time of the pandemic and wars and other things that have people so nervous and anxious and discombobulated, what that type of ministry can do and how it can be used for the glory of God. So that will be coming up in April and May. Personal evangelism and how God is using and moving and gifting in that regard. Some can be through certainly counseling therapy. I'm a counseling therapist. I'm also a writer. Some are using it through through music, through song. Others may through artwork, talents, and other abilities. So we'll be talking about that, and hopefully getting some guests on the show who specialize in these different areas to help shed some light on it. And for those individuals who are not or do not feel that they have a particular area, some are, working with children. I'm also in that realm, working with youth and teens and children. Some are doing so artistically through acting or monologues or poetry. So there are just many different ways that we can do that. We can share the word and uplift people. I just pray for each and every one today. We're about to close out the show. Thank you for joining me today. I hope this episode blessed all of you. And I pray that you all are well in all regards, all aspects of your being, spiritually, of course, mentally, physically, emotionally, socially. It does all start with spiritually when we are in tune, when we are in sync with the Lord. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness in all things. The entirety of our wellness and well-being will come to play. Not that we'll have perfect lives and we will still be upset and disappointed and have to deal with negative feelings, but we will remain balanced because in him we live and move and have our being. So he keeps us. He is that balance. He is that foundation and the grounding we need in our lives. So I love you. God bless you. Be safe and well. Have a beautiful evening. Bye-bye.